Well, I've been told I need to be done by 11:30 because the air show starts. But I think I can be louder than an F-22. I think I can. So I'm going to give it a try. No, I was down there watching on Friday morning or Friday afternoon, whatever, and that's pretty loud. So it goes right over the church, too. So I know that it's going to get a little loud here just a little after 11:30. So, but I'll raise the volume if I have to because I can do that. Have you ever felt as if you were invisible? What I mean by that question is, have you ever been at a party or in a room or in some kind of gathering and people just act as if you're not there? They kind of look past you. They look through you. You kind of feel like you're a non-person. I think most of us, I see quite a few heads kind of going, yeah, I've experienced that. Most of us have had that experience at one time or another. Where it seems like nobody knows that we're even there. And it's not a very nice feeling, is it? Now, I want you to imagine if that feeling, if that truth was there all the time. If all the time you were invisible, if all the time people just looked past you and didn't really think about you. It so happens that I know someone who for many times in his life was considered to be or treated as if he was invisible. And that was my father-in-law, Simon Aldrich. He's gone now, but while he lived here on earth, I had the privilege of calling him Dad. And Dad was a delightful man. He had a wide range of experiences. He was skilled. He was an engineer with the state of New York for many years. He had a very agile mind. I loved his subtle and yet wicked sense of humor and his sly smile when something tickled his fancy. He usually had to do with his grandchildren. Dad was most definitely a quiet man. I call him the un-Jim Cock. My dad, if he walks in the room, you know he's there. He's loud. Everybody knows it. Dad was the opposite. As quiet as he was, though, Dad was a good, strong man. And yet, I saw this happen many times to my father-in-law, where he would be treated as if he just wasn't there. For example, we would go out to eat, and the waitress would stand there at the table, and she would take Shelly's order, and she would take Shelly's mom's order, she would take my order, and then she'd walk away. And we had to say, there's a fourth person here. Or if he did manage to get his order in, our food would come all at once, and then somehow his got lost in the back. And this happened several times, on several occasions, when I was out with my father-in-law. Dad's invisibility was legendary in the family. There's a story that was told, and I heard this story on several different occasions, and from Dad himself I heard this story. This happened on the day of his wedding, all right? The day of his wedding, all right? They had an outdoor reception after the wedding. I think it was an outdoor wedding, too, right? It was an outdoor wedding, an outdoor reception after the wedding, and people in the reception kept stepping right in front of him and almost on my dad, my father-in-law. So he had to keep backing up. People kind of like run into him, so he kept backing up, and he kept backing up. And finally, he found himself in the corner. There was a corner of the house that came together like this, and he was standing in the corner. And then to add insult to injury, there was a door right here, and somebody opened it up and closed him in the corner. And he stood there for quite some time. Now, over the years, we've laughed. We laughed a lot with Dad about those incidences. But the truth is that even when Dad laughed about it, it hurt. It hurt to be treated that way. It hurts when any of us are treated as if we were invisible. Being treated as if we are invisible is painful. And I believe it's especially painful to most of us because we are at least a little bit unsure of our own importance, of our own self-worth. That is, all of us deal a little bit with poor self-image. And when we are treated as if we are invisible, when someone acts like we're just plain not there, that brings up this pain that exists in our heart, this feeling of nothingness, this feeling of being treated as if we're not there, that we're invisible. Now, I believe as well that those kinds of feelings can come up in our relationship with God. That is, there are times, I think, where we feel that God doesn't notice us or that God doesn't care. We're sure, as far as God is concerned, that we're invisible. And these are usually our times of pain, our times of distress, our times of loneliness, when we feel that God just isn't there and God really isn't seeing us. Like I said, I think we all experience that. And when we experience that, or when we find ourselves in that situation, it's helpful for us to consider a story like the one we have for this morning. This morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, the story of the leper. And the leper represents for us those who feel invisible to God. I'm going to invite Michelle to come forward to read. We're going to consider this unnamed and unknown leper and what he has to teach us this morning. This is the Word of God, words from the book that we love.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cleaned of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them."
This is the word of the Lord. I want to consider, first of all, with you, the leper's request. Now, as we consider the request that the leper gives here, it would be helpful for us to understand a bit of the situation that he finds himself in. The man is a leper. Leprosy was a scourge in his day. Leprosy had the ability to make the blood run cold in the same manner that the word AIDS might do today, though it was even worse than that, because there was no medical establishment to stand between the leper and the general world around them. Leprosy was a death sentence. There was no known medical cure. People who were leprous were commanded by the law of God, the law of Moses, to dress in rags, to stay away from human contact, and when people came near, to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." It's not unusual for people to throw stones at lepers to keep them away when they saw them coming and to find every possible way to shun them. It was completely incurable. Well, not completely, because the Jewish people believed that God could cure leprosy. And there were examples in the Old Testament of God just doing just that thing, of curing leprosy. Miriam, Moses' sister-in-law, when she got a little uppity once, God struck her with leprosy, and he cured her. Naaman the Assyrian, for example, he was cured with leprosy of leprosy as well. So the Jewish people knew that God could cure leprosy. But since lepers were outcasts, since they had their backs turned on them by their family members and their friends and their community, since they had to live outside of the city gates and out in the lonely places where people usually didn't go, since lepers were that far away from human touch and human contact, how could any leper expect God to notice them? With that understanding in mind, the leper's request is striking. Jesus comes down from the mountain, we're told. Now, the mountain he came down from is the mountain where we had the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has just been talking about all of these wonderful things about the kingdom of God and the call to live for him. And I can still hear as this whole scene is playing out, Jesus saying things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who meek, for they shall inherit the earth," and so on and so forth. But then the leper says this, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." In the message, we hear the leper saying, "Lord, if you want to, you are able to cure me." Now, even though this leper knows, as everyone else does, that medically it's not possible to cure someone from leprosy, he comes to Jesus asking to be cured. And he comes asking not out of desperation, but out of confidence. Listen to what he says. "Lord, if you are willing, you are able to make me clean." You can. The words of the leper are a confession not just of what the leper believes, but a confession of the truth. Jesus can heal him. Jesus is able to cure him. Jesus does have the power. The words of the leper are meant to bring us face to face with the truth that Jesus is all-powerful. Jesus has might beyond that of any other human being. He has might beyond our greatest imaginations of medical science. And therefore, he's perfectly capable of curing leprosy. And in coming to Jesus for the cure, the leper is 100% correct. However, take a look at the request again. Consider it as a whole. He says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, somehow, somewhere, the leper had heard that Jesus had the power to heal people. Maybe he saw Jesus heal someone from a distance. Maybe there were rumors that were spread amongst the leper community. He had a relative or a friend who decided to breach protocol and come and talk to him and tell him about this person, Jesus. But however he learned about it, he knows that Jesus could heal. And yet, in the same words where he affirms that Jesus can heal, the leper also introduces an element of doubt. Not doubt about Jesus' ability to cure him, but about Jesus' willingness to cure him. Look again. The leper says to Jesus, Lord, if you are willing, if you are willing. In this passage, with this powerful statement that this leper makes to Jesus as he comes down from talking about the kingdom of God and the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus, and he comes to Jesus and he says to him, Lord, you're able to make me clean. But then he starts by saying, Lord, if you are willing. The word if implies that Jesus might not be inclined to feel compassion towards this hurting bit of humanity, towards this invisible member of society. Jesus, I know you can, but I'm not sure you will. And in this little word, if, the leper brings into question the heart of God, the heart of Jesus. Does God care? Does Jesus care? Does he see my sorrow? Does he see me? Does he see my pain? Those are questions that are asked not just by lepers in the first century, but they're asked by you and me as well, right? Does Jesus care? As with the leper, all of us here know the truth. Hopefully you know the truth, that Jesus is the Son of God. All of us are aware that all power and glory belong to him as Lord of the universe. And whether the cause of our difficulty is leprosy or cancer or a stroke or a destroyed relationship or that bad sinful habit we can't break, we know that Jesus is able to heal us. All power belongs to him. But does he care? That's the question that haunts us. Even as we pray, Dear Jesus, heal my loved one, or Dear Jesus, cleanse me from this sin, the nagging doubt hangs on. Does Jesus care? Or am I invisible? And so, like the leper, there exists in our lives a very strange mixture, a very familiar mixture of faith and doubt. I believe, but we've heard of his love. We've read about his love. We've even sung together about his love. And yet, when it comes to putting that love to the test, when rubber hits the road, when trust in Jesus and his power is more than academic, it's something that we desperately need, doubt fills our hearts. Men more easily believe in miraculous power than miraculous love. Those are the words of A.B. Bruce as he comments on this encounter between Jesus and the leper in Matthew chapter 8. Men more easily believe in miraculous power than miraculous love. And how true those words are. In our hearts, there is a fear. Could Jesus possibly love me? Could he love me with all my warts, with my social leprosy, if you will? With all the things that's wrong with me. It's precisely to answer that question I think that echoes in the human heart, I think it's precisely because of that question that we have this story recorded for us here in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Because in this story, we find an answer to the doubt that so often echoes in our hearts. And it's found in Jesus' response. As the leper approaches Jesus, I mean, he is the perfect example of all of our sin, all of our uncleanness, all of our difficulties, all of our doubt. As the leper approaches Jesus, the heart of Jesus is made plain. The agonized request of the leper, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," is met with those amazing words, "I am willing." Going back to the message where the leper says, "Lord, if you want to, you can cure me," Jesus says, "I want to. I want to." The marvelous message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is this, is that he wants to. He wants to bless you. He wants to free you from all of the maladies that oppress you, including the malady of sin. Jesus wants to do all in his power. He wants to do it all for us because, quite simply, he loves us. And the extent of Jesus' love is demonstrated in this story, and something that I think we pass over, that in Jesus' day would have just scandalized the people who were around him. Before he says a word, we're told, Jesus reaches out and he touches the leper. To touch a leper in Jesus' day was considered by many people to be a death sentence, first of all. They weren't quite sure how leprosy transferred, and they were sure that they were going to get it if they touched him. But also, when Jesus touches that man, he defiles himself in the eyes of the law. Now, there's been a fun little riddle that I've posed in my own head, and I've posed it to other people, and it's kind of one of those things, you know, some of those of you who know me well know I like to ask questions that sometimes you kind of, people have to think about a little bit. And the question is this: Jesus, the healer, when he touches somebody, touches a leper, they're clean. But to touch a leper in Jesus' day is to be unclean. So is Jesus clean or unclean when he touches the leper? And it's actually a question I've debated in my own head. And my answer is this, is that Jesus is unclean. My belief is that Jesus takes on the uncleanness of this leper. He touches this leper and this uncleanness comes upon him. He's not able to enter the temple or the synagogue for 7 days. It's the law. But he reaches out and he touches this man. He makes himself unclean so that the message might be as clear as possible. I love you, and I am willing to enter into your pain and bring you healing. In a similar manner, Jesus has touched each and every one of us by taking on our flesh and blood. Think about how Jesus defiled himself when he came here to earth. The glorious God of heaven and earth, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, the one who knows all things and can do all things, becomes a fetus. Then he goes through that painful experience of birth, has to have diapers changed, has to have someone teach him how to walk and talk, falls down, scrapes his knees, has bad breath and smelly feet like the rest of us, watches his father die. His earthly father, that is. Think of the defilement that Jesus goes through in order to come to us. In order to demonstrate, as that wonderful and best-known passage of Scripture makes very clear, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his Son." For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. The depth of his desire, the depth of his love for us, the depth of his desire to heal our wounds, and the depth of his love for us is demonstrated in that he becomes one of us. Now, does that mean that when we believe in Jesus, life's going to be all sunshine and roses? No, not at all. We still live in a sin-soaked world where pain and loss and grief and death are all part of the package. Cancer and leprosy and AIDS and you name it. We also serve a God whose ways are mysterious, who often allows difficulty to enter into our lives that he might bless us even more so. We talked about that a few weeks ago when we talked about David and Ittai the Gittite, how God brings blessing out of difficulty. But none of that can change this important message that I want to share with you this morning, and that is this, is that no matter how small, how unimportant, how invisible you may feel, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants to heal you. Jesus knows our pain, and he shares our pain. People often ask, where is God when I hurt? And the answer to that question is, he's right there with you. Your tears of sorrow do not outnumber his. He's entered into your pain. He's entered into your situation. He's made himself unclean so that he might walk and talk with you. He touches us, taking our grief upon himself, promising one day that all this will change as he cleanses us forever. Praise God. I hope you can do that today. To praise God, not just for miraculous healing, which he can do, but praise him even more so for miraculous love. Believe it. Know it. Receive it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you for incredible love. Love beyond our ability to understand, to fathom, certainly to earn. We bless you, Lord, that though we are like that leper, outcast, invisible, unwanted, you love us. You love us so much that you're willing to enter into our pain, into our suffering, into our sorrow. Lord, we pray that you'll give us the capacity to believe, not just in miraculous power, but in miraculous love. And may it change our lives as we lean into this relationship with Jesus Christ and as we know his love. In his name we pray. Amen.